Welcome to the Sage Thought Leadership Podcast, removing barriers to grow your people.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to our podcast. I'm Ed Kless, and with me today is Scott Tillema. Scott is a retired SWAT hostage negotiator with over 20 years of law enforcement experience in the Chicago area. Educationally, Scott holds a bachelor's degree in behavioral science, a master's degree in psychology, and he was trained in negotiations by the FBI and at Harvard University. Today, he is a partner at the Negotiations Collective, an international negotiations and conflict resolution training firm. As a global keynote speaker and corporate trainer, Scott inspires audiences to use techniques of verbal influence to be powerful negotiators, effective conflict resolvers, and influential leaders. Welcome to the Sage Thought Leadership Podcast, Scott Tillema.
Hi, Ed. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
So great that you could be here. First off, Scott, why do you do what you do?
I am a global keynote speaker. I love bringing a message of connection, of influence, of negotiation to people who can use this and bring value to their teams and organizations. I believe that the techniques and the tools and the skills of negotiation is probably one of the most important skills you can have if you are in a field that in any way has to interface with other people. When you know how to connect and influence others and reach solid agreements, I think that we can find better results, better outcomes in our work, and live more happy, fulfilled lives, and probably have to work a little bit less hard to do so.
Well, I want to take this a little bit deeper. It's good. The good news is most business situations do not require life or death situations most of the time. So that's a good thing. But what can we take from crisis negotiations, the work that you've done, and apply that to business?
Right. And if you are going to learn business negotiations from a crisis or hostage negotiator, you're probably doing it wrong. So I like what you're saying here. There is a difference. But at its core, even though your listeners might not be leading hostage negotiations, we're all having difficult conversations, aren't we? Whether it be internally with the teams or our supervisors or our subordinates, or externally with stakeholders, if you're doing sales, marketing, customer service, human resources, we're having these tough conversations. And at the core of a crisis negotiation is we're having a difficult conversation. And what we're seeing in today's society is that more and more people seem to be in crisis. We live in a state of crisis right now. In 2023, the Surgeon General just released a report and findings that we are suffering from isolation and loneliness and this epidemic of we're just disconnected from the world around us when we're seemingly more connected than ever. So what's going on here? Why are people in crisis, and how do we get them to a better place? And if we're functioning in the private sector, in the business world, and pretending that it's all business and there's no emotion involved and we can't recognize the whole person, I think we're going to fail. And where crisis negotiators excel at is that ability to connect with somebody else, that ability to listen, that ability to withhold judgment in difficult situations, our ability to hear things that might be not pleasurable, to deal with people who might not be pleasant or might not be doing good things, and still be able to connect and manage myself. I think one of the biggest takeaways that I've learned as a crisis negotiator that I still apply in my work today is, how do I manage myself first when we're met with somebody who's difficult or challenging or in a tough spot? Do I need to fire back? Do I need to be defensive? Do I need to start blaming people or lose self-control? Or am I a master of myself? And am I then able to lead that person and lead that conversation to where I really need it to go?
One of the things that I've learned from my mentor, who's written a lot about the subject of anxiety and leadership, he says that anxiety and creativity are always inversely proportional to each other. So the more anxious you are, the less creative you can be. And one of the things that I'm hearing from you is the same thing, is that you need to be able to self-regulate, lower your level of anxiety, because you can't turn on creativity, but you can self-regulate and lower anxiety. So comment on that.
For sure. And I fully agree with that, which is why the preparation for these difficult conversations is your key to success. And if we want influence, that begins with connection. And if we want connection, that begins with dialogue. And how do we create a dialogue? Do we have good questions that we can ask, good open-ended questions that are going to invite your partner to share with you and open up? Because your power comes from information and options. How do we get that? By asking good questions and being good listeners. So before we go into a conversation where emotions might pop up or my anxiety might notch up a little bit, how nice would it be for me to have a list of 10 good questions that I could fire at any time that's going to engage my listener, my partner, to start sharing with me? So now I'm not the one doing the talking. I'm inviting them into the conversation. And like you said, when that anxiety and emotion goes up, I'm a little bit less creative to come up with those good questions. So why not prep that in advance a little bit to have a couple good questions that I can ask you at any point that's going to keep that conversation moving to get us to where we want to go?
The other key that I think is, especially on the person who is the interviewer, so to speak, is to really make sure that they, well, in addition to maintaining their anxiety, be authentic. We can't be as fake about it. And I think that there's a big challenge there. Oftentimes people think that they can just use this technique, but if the technique is not real, it's not them, it's not going to work.
Right. And that's where practice comes into play, because when we try anything at first, it's awkward. When I'm teaching skills of active listening to people who don't do this usually, it's they're fumbling around and it's just not very smooth. So we have to move from the knowledge, something we know, to the skill, something we can do, to ultimately the third step where it just becomes who you are. And that's when we start to build that authenticity, because now I'm so good at just managing myself and doing this. It's not fake. It's not inauthentic. And I think you touched on something very, very critical here. If we as humans feel that the person we're talking with or connecting with is not genuine, instead of connecting, the walls are now going to go up and now there's going to be a bridge between us. And that becomes very, very difficult, because now I'm curious to know, why is this fake? Why is there a level of inauthenticity here? Are you trying to manipulate me? Or what is with you that you're not just this normal person? So it can't be a technique. It has to really be so natural to you. And I want people to be authentic in their conversations. Highlight the part about you that might be similar to the person you're talking with. That's okay. It's still genuine. It's still your authentic self. But don't be afraid to say, here is what makes me unique and special and different, and be yourself.
And I think you touched on something important too. I want to just you further the point is that this takes some time. It's not something that you can just listen to once, read a book or an article and go, okay, I got it. So talk about what the changes of yourself, and that you really, it might take several months for you to be able to really put this into practice.
For sure. I competed in the Chicago International Distance Triathlon. I thought that would be a fun challenge because I did some running. I really enjoyed some biking. But the third piece of the triathlon was swimming. And I enjoy swimming when I'm at the resort at the swim up bar, when I can swim up for a margarita, but not competitive swimming. So I watched the videos. I watched Michael Phelps and all the great Olympians, and they were awesome. And I was getting it in my mind. But guess what? At some point, I had to get in the pool and try it, and I was pretty terrible at this, and it took some time. So I always remember this process to say, don't get frustrated. When you read the book on negotiation, when you watch the movie on negotiation, or met some great negotiator, and it still isn't quite happening. There are so many aspects of this. We talked about listening, but how about the delivery? Not what you say, but how you say it. So now we're thinking about our content, and we've prepared what we're going to say. But are we ever practicing or getting feedback on our actual delivery, the rate, the rhythm, the pressure, the volume, the tone? There's so many aspects that go into the perfect delivery. And that's just one little piece of our conversation or our negotiation with someone else. So let's not get frustrated. If we made the effort, we read the book, and we're not quite there yet, so many people give up on it when really they're starting to move. And how frustrated would we be to know we were this close to getting that much better and finding this result that we want, but we gave up because it was kind of clunky or it wasn't smooth yet.
And Scott, we have an exit question that we ask all of our guests, and that is, who is a hero of yours and why are they a hero?
I'm lucky to have a lot of heroes and role models in my life. My father is a great example of someone who's a hero. I'm a musician, so I look up to a lot of people in the music field. As a speaker, there's a lot of people that I aspire to be like on stage. But going back to being a young boy, I remember watching Bo Jackson play baseball and football. And this was a superhuman, unbelievable athlete who was so much better than everybody else. Now, I'll assure you, I am not an athlete. I'm not going to be out there doing anything that he's doing. But what he taught me by watching him was there is a level of excellence that you can achieve above anybody else. So if you ask me as a young person or even today, who is my hero? The answer is Bo Jackson. I got a signed Bo Jackson jersey that I'm looking at right across the way. That's someone who taught me what it's like to be excellent and be the very best at what you do.
And lastly, Scott, how can somebody contact you?
I would love to connect on LinkedIn. I'm very active on that platform. So if your listeners are on LinkedIn, send me a message. I'm a real person. I promise I'll message you back. Or you can find me at scotttillema.com for all my speaking related information, or corporately negotiationscollective.com.
All right, Scott Tillema, thanks so much for being a guest on the Sage Thought Leadership Podcast.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Review and subscribe by searching your podcast player of choice for Sage Thought Leadership Podcast.